When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a rundown, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't play that one for the rundown, do we? I was wondering why you're looking at me like that. You're like,
no, that's fine. Hey.
Hey.
We're all over the place, man.
Do your thing, bro.
Do your thing, bro.
Let's see.
Meow, 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 meow. There we go. Wake your ass up.
Oh, but oh. Your buddy Murph back once again for what we trust will be a fantastic episode of the Raiders Fan Radio Rundown. That is where myself and Swag Jeff, we like to kind of run down the Raiders and what's going on in prior, you know, days, day, night. It's the next day. We're not live. So for those of you that are watching us live tonight on the YouTubes, thank you so very, very much. All of those of you that are in the chat room. And if you want to join us on our typical show we do, it is Raiders Fan Radio, where we go live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. No, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, each and every Wednesday night. And you can join us live in the chat room for that at youtube.com/Raiders Fan Radio. Or you can join us on the audio version of the podcast anywhere that you can find a podcast. Why, Jeff? That's any podcast service like Audacity.
Sure.
Spotify.
Yep. Stitcher, Google Play, Amazon Music.
All that shit.
Just wherever you're at, we there.
We there. That's right.
Yep.
We out here. So we appreciate you, Raider Nation, for checking us out. But this is not live, as I mentioned. This is now Monday evening. You're going to get to watch this, hopefully, leading up to the Titans-Dolphins game.
Yes.
And so I haven't learned enough lessons yet, Jeff. And so I'm going to keep betting on the Titans because I swear they cover. So they're a 14-point spread tonight. So I'm hoping the
Titans cover. Are they really a 14? 14,
but they're on the road in Miami. So
yeah,
it's tall order. Tall order. But hopefully D-Hop will get going tonight. So anyways, but you're not here to talk about – you don't want to hear us talk about the Dolphins and the Titans. They want to hear us talk about – the Las Vegas Raiders, I think.
Maybe.
Because I don't know if I want to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders.
Holy cow.
But without further ado, let me turn it over to the man that adorns the Eastern Annex of the Murphs Fan Cave desk. He is my best friend and yours. He is Swag Jeff. Swaggo.
You're styling and profiling.
Well, you know, you said it, Murph. You know, this is the rundown where we like to run down what happened. And I feel like, you know, this is already more rundown than the team had yesterday. There was not a whole lot of action, not a whole lot of anything on one side of the ball. You know, I mean, I think you talked about it a little bit yesterday with you and Scott on the Silver and Black postgame show. You know, if someone would have told us, hey, the Vikings are only going to score three, I think everyone's jumping up and down, hooting and hollering, talking about the Raiders are back and, you know, trying to look at and see who else lost yesterday to see where our playoff chances were going to be. And now we know exactly where our playoff chances are going to be. Just right in the friggin' toilet, man. Just like, what the hell happened, man?
Dude, yesterday was weird. It was almost surreal. You know, we watched the game here at the house, me and Vinny and Valerie watched the game, and you know, we were kind of cooking out and stuff and what, and normally, you know, like we plan around our activities or for the day, like so many people do. I'm not
sure
unique here in this, but what the idea, what I want to get to is that And they're very aware of like, hey, look, your game's ready to start. Like, get your ass on the couch or sit down. Cause I got, you know, cause I want to, obviously, just cause I'm a fan. So I love watching every snap. But then also, you know what the hell I'm talking about when I get on these shows and all this kind of stuff, right?
Sure. Totally.
Dude, at one point in the second half, I've left the couch. I resorted to me and Vinny. We're out back. We were grilling out, watching it on the iPad. And normally I would never do that.
Yeah.
But I was so freaking bored. That is a complete rarity. I'm almost embarrassed to say that. But I was bored as hell watching the team. They were so lifeless on offense. And I don't understand it. I mean, I understand the deficiencies and I understand the reason for the deficiencies. And I mentioned this with Scott too. There's a big void that was left. You know, we didn't like him, Josh McDaniels, and we didn't like Mick Lombardi either. We didn't like those guys, but there was a void left there offensively when those guys got let go. Now, I'm not saying that was I'm not defending them or saying that it shouldn't have happened or whatever. It should have, and it did. And they weren't doing all that great offensively either. But the designers of this offense, the play callers, very experienced play callers at that. Again, not great, but experienced in it. All that went out the window. And you assigned a defensive coach at the helm, and now you got a quarterback coach calling plays. So, and oh yeah, you got a fourth round rookie throwing a football and trying to make the calls at the line of scrimmage. So I kind of see how everything stacks up for them to have deficiencies on offense. But to be completely lifeless?
Yeah.
Is Colton Miller so important to the running game that when he's not on the field, Josh Jacobs sucks? Jeff, I've got a ton of show notes here. And listen to, so there's one here. Okay, check this out. Josh Jacobs has 7 more carries this season than Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey has 372 more yards on the ground. I got one more for you. There's been 36 seasons in Raiders history when a running back has more than 200 carries. Josh Jacobs is 3.45 yards per carry, ranks 35th, only ahead of Darren McFadden's 3.27 in 2012.
Wow.
I mean, and he's having these terrible games when Colton Miller's not on the field. So anyways, my point being is this, how do they go from out of the gate swinging against the two New York teams, especially against the Giants that we were there to see, offense lighting it up.
Yeah.
Throwing a ball deep down field to Trey Tucker. Like all these things that we saw. Mm-hmm. And it all goes away. Because it's not like the Vikings were a great football team.
No.
I mean, it's not. Their defense, this isn't the 85 Bears here. I don't understand it. I understand it, but I don't understand it at the same time. And so it leaves, I want to turn over to you, but it leaves with so many questions around the direction of this football team now. There's so much now volatility in what this team is going to do offensively going forward. And I would say this lastly, defensively, I feel like we were the Jets a couple of years ago. Like defensively, we're pretty freaking good.
Right.
Are we, you know, and Aaron Rodgers away from all of a sudden being a freaking, you know, talk of the offseason, a Super Bowl contender? I don't know, but I don't want to get all crazy here. But my point being though is that remember when people were talking about the Jets, it was like, well, their defense is awesome. Bob Saul's got them playing great defense. They just need to get something going offensively. And I feel like that's exactly what we are.
Yeah, well, you know, watching that game yesterday, you know, when you watch the defense play and, you know, all that stuff, the bend don't break and then a critical third down stop forcing them, you know, forcing Dobbs all over the place. I'm telling you, man, Josh Dobbs was running for his life all day yesterday.
And shout out Tyree Wilson, man, for finally.
Yeah. Finally. Yeah. He finally gets on. He had a monster game. He had a really, really good game. And friggin' Diablo and Spillane were battling their ass off. Max Crosby on one leg has got 2 sacks in the game, who now is, you know, he's eclipsed the 50 sack mark in his career, man. I think the first sack put him at 50 or whatever, and now he's at 51 or whatever that number is, but like he's 57 and a half away from that freaking all-time record, man, and I think he's gonna shatter it, you know, for sure, because he's, I think, the one piece of this team right now that you can look and go, okay, we're building our team around that guy, you know, because I feel like the blame can go all around. You watch that game all game yesterday and you see the defense making stops, and so, you know, we're watching the first and the second quarter and we're going, okay, at some point, the offense is going to let loose. At some point, we're going to have a big play, a big chunk thing or whatever, and it's going to spark the team and all that stuff. And we finally saw it in the second half or whatever, or maybe late in the first half or whatever, with Hunter Renfrow. We finally get close to the red zone, and then what happens? He coughs it up. Ugh. A couple plays later, man. You know, gosh, that your heart breaks for a guy like that.
So
that
much,
finally,
dude.
He finally had momentum, and he's finally showing the team over the course of the last couple weeks that, like, hey, I'm still here. I'm still the GOAT. I'm still the slot machine. I'm doing all these things. And then a play like that, and you're like, God dang it, man. Like, come on, hold on to that damn ball. And, you know,
I mean, it was a good defensive play.
It was.
But still,
you got to hold on to the
ball. It's like the one knock against Hunter. And sure enough, it's like,
coughs it up, man. He did that a couple times last year, especially in that Cardinals game last year. Had two key fumbles at the end of that game, one that was returned for a friggin' scoop and score or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, so your heart breaks for a guy like that, but it starts at the top, you know, from the coaching staff down to the players and everything. Like, no one's executing right. No one's doing the right thing. And I love Antonio Pierce, and I still am a rah-rah guy going to pound on the desk. I want this guy to get a chance. I want him to have a chance, even if it's just a one-year contract. You know, we don't have to, you know, put so much money and so much guarantee into a guy that we're not sure if he's ready to be a head coach or not.
That's interesting.
Give him a shorter leash. Why not? You know, keep a lot of these guys on. Go get an offensive coordinator. Go get a freaking rock star guy. You know, one of these guys out of Miami, one of these guys out of, you know, wherever. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be available that has a little bit more offensive mind than Bo Hardigree. He's the piece that you know is going to be gone, you know, regardless as to what happens.
Or go back to being the quarterback coach.
Or But it starts there, you know. I think the frustrating part, and you see a lot of it in Raider Nation, and I know you guys talked about it a lot yet last night as well, that, you know, we had a bye, you know, and this is the game plan that we put together. Like, bro,
that's bad.
Like, that's bad, man. Yeah. That's really, really, really bad. And I know you got some stats, and I'm going to let you get those in a minute. But, like, you know, we've only been shut out a handful of times ever at home. And, you know, but how many of those were after a bye week?
Well, thank you, Swag Jeff. I'm glad you asked.
Okay, well, go ahead and answer it and then throw it back to me.
All right. So the Raiders were shut out. This is the first time we've been shut out following a regular season bye for the first time in franchise history.
First time ever.
First time ever. And I also want to give you two more that's going to complement what you're talking about on defense and celebrate a little bit of what these guys were doing on defense. Teams allowing 3 points or fewer had won 258 consecutive games in the regular season and playoffs before the Raiders did it yesterday against the Vikings. So that tells you right there that the defense did everything it needed to put this team in a position to win. The last one on the defense, the 3 points allowed by the Raiders, that was the fewest in a game allowed since we beat the Chiefs in 2012. We beat them 15-0.
Wow. There you go. There you go, man. So, yeah, so the defense is solid. Friggin' Patrick Graham is balling out. And I'm sure Antonio Pierce has a lot to do with that as well. I think they're putting together a really, really good plan. And I love that you talked about that last night on Silver and Black Today as well, where, you know, yeah, Antonio Pierce isn't an offensive guy. He's a defensive guy. And look what's happening. Our defense is freaking balling out, you know, like crazy.
Yeah, and the people that are critics out there of Antonio Pierce, and the ones, and even, I think I even said this to Scott, maybe in a roundabout way, but no, I apologize. I want to just say and reference everything I said on Scott's show, but it just happened recently. So anyways, the idea that if you're going to indict Antonio Pierce for the lack of productivity on offense and not give him credit for the productivity on defense,
right?
What are we doing here? If you're gonna give him equal blame, give him equal blame. If you're gonna give him equal credit, give him equal credit. But you can't say, well, you know what I mean? He's just, it's all, see, and this is where
you can't be all or nothing.
No, and this is the thing where I think that people miss on their evaluation of Antonio Pierce as a head coach, is that he's not a play caller. And when we look at the way that, and I know there are former defensive coordinators and defensive guys that become head coaches like D'Amico Ryans and whatnot. I know that is the case, but I think we're so used to who are the coaches in prime time that are celebrated, that are they're the faces of the NFL, are the guys that call plays. Sean McVay, Andy Reid, Mike McDaniel.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? These guys that are these offensive juggernauts, as Mike McCarthy, These guys, they're the ones that are calling these offenses. And so there's an assumption that, oh, if you can't do that, or if that's not what your head coach looks like, then you're not a good. I completely disagree with that.
I do too.
And if, because, and again, use D'Amico Ryans is a perfect example of that. You got a young defensive coach. You got a good offensive coordinator and a what? And a badass rookie quarterback.
There you go.
The end. And all of a sudden you're in a playoff hunt.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's probably what we're looking at if we can get this thing done with Pierce. Because I'm telling you, and then, you know, because defensively, well, you want me to throw it back to you.
Yeah.
But defensively, again, fewest points per game through 13 games in Raider history. We had 11.9 in 09, 12 in 2006, 13.8 in 08, 14.8 in 1962. 15.4 in 2014 and 15.5 here in 2023. We have nothing going offensively. Zilch, right. You know?
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, and that kind of brings me to my next point because, you know, yes, it all starts with the coaches. It starts with the guys that do the X's and O's, the game plans, all that stuff. But, you know, but I think Antonio Pierce still has that unteachable aspect of being a coach. And you can't just stick your nose up at that because he's not there in a certain point yet. You know, yeah, neither was Dan Campbell at one point. Neither was what, like, but the team loved him. And, you know, they were going to get their pieces. They were going to build around it and they're going to get better. And I really feel like that's what's going to happen here in Las Vegas with Antonio Pierce. You know, we might all be wrong and he might go back to being the linebacker coach here or elsewhere or whatever. And if that's the case, that sucks. But, you know, but it is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, we want to win, you know, and have a good culture that goes along with it. Win the Raider way. But to now take a step down and look at the players, I think we see Josh Jacobs struggling because after that first game where we see Aiden O'Connell in the Giants game start lighting up the defense and throwing it deep to Trey Tucker, when have we done that really since?
We haven't.
We got away from it. And I don't know if it's a Bo Hardigree thing where it's like, you know, the dust settled after this emotional thing that happened where we let Josh McDaniels go. And so now we're just going to try to make it through and go kind of back to what we were doing, you know, in some aspect. But like the defenses that we're playing right now have zero respect for Aiden O'Connell, zero respect for him. And until he shows that he deserves a little respect, then they're not going to give him any. You know, that's why Josh Jacobs is struggling. That's why Devontae Adams only has 3 catches a game. All that stuff, you'd think a guy, especially coming out of a bye week, that has a lot to prove as a young guy. And I love Aiden O'Connell. You know, I think he's great. He's not our future, Raider Nation. The end. He's not. He's not going to be the guy. He's not, because he doesn't have the fire right now. And I understand he's a 4th-round rookie. And you got to give a guy like that a little bit of runway. But like the runway's running out, man. Like this was your shot. And especially coming out of a bye week against a mid-ass freaking Minnesota team, you had to come out guns blazing, have a little fire and stuff. And I mean, what was one of our biggest criticisms of Derek Carr? Sometimes we didn't see the fire. Yeah. And when he did, we loved it. But we didn't always see it. So now we've got a guy, you know, I mean, hell, Jimmy Garoppolo had more fire than what we're seeing out of Aiden O'Connell sometimes in that aspect of it. And then at the end of the game, when it's still close and all that kind of stuff, and we see these back and forth, 3 and out. What do the Vikings do? They go, okay, well, we'll put in our veteran and just maybe see if we can change something up. And they were successful. And maybe we should have done the same thing. Hey, Jimmy, take the hat off. Let's go do a series or two. You haven't won the starting job, but go try to do something because we're in this crazy stalemate game that we watched and I was just waiting the entire time and going, okay.
And the internet said,
give me that. Get out of here. Everybody.
Actually, it was the power just dying.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely,
yeah. That was wild. We haven't had that happen in a hot minute. And Swag, you were on a hot take, as the kids say.
Yeah, a little bit, man. You know, and I guess the Raiders, someone from the Raiders got employed by Middle Tennessee Electric because it just, the lights went out.
It just went on.
That was it, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, kind of where I was getting at basically was, you know, Aiden O'Connell, I feel like, you know, a lot of pressure was on him, and I totally understand that. But these last 9 games were really, it was your chance to show Raider Nation what you got and can you be the leader? And after, you know, 5 games, I don't know. You know, it's just you don't see the fire, you don't see the spark, any of that kind of stuff. But, you know.
Well, and you brought up the idea about them switching out quarterbacks, which I think was really interesting. So on the season, Brock Purdy has zero come from behind victories. Nick Mullins has one. Jimmy Garoppolo has two. I'm just saying, look, ain't nobody clamoring for Jimmy to start games or any of that kind of shit. But just like, you know, when your goalie is getting shredded for five goals, you put in the next guy at a minimum just to save his confidence. You know, if your pitcher isn't feeling it in the third inning, you get him out of there and you put someone else in. If Aiden doesn't have any kind of a hand, it might have been time to go with Garoppolo. So this we're setting records with this one, Swag Jack. Actually, you know what? And speaking of my hockey reference, check this out. So the Raiders and Vikings played yesterday. Yeah. So also did the Sharks and the Golden Knights.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know which one of them scored the most?
Well, I would say Vegas probably did.
No, it's close. So the Vikings scored three. The Sharks scored one.
Oh, okay.
The Knights scored one.
Oh.
And the Raiders scored zero. So we not only lost to the Vikings, we lost to the Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks.
There you go.
Also, but yeah, so here's the historic side of this, which is, you know, I don't love it, but it's the truth. The Raiders were the 10th team to ever get shut out in the first game following a regular season bye, which I told you earlier. That's the first team to do it in the past 13 seasons. Last time was the Seahawks in 2021 against the Packers. The eight first downs for the Raiders yesterday was the fewest they've had in a game since they had seven versus Washington in week three of 2017. That was the infamous, you
know, Del Rio firing game, right?
No, Del Rio firing was against the Chargers.
Oh, right.
This was the one where we beat the hell out of the Titans. We beat the hell out of the Jets, the Marshawn dancing on the sidelines, all that kind of stuff. This is the Raiders coming off that 2016 run. And then all of a sudden, Washington, Monday Night Football, the whole notorious, you know, was there controversy in the locker room between the kneeling versus not kneeling, whatever else. And that's a lot, that stuff's been debunked because that was, people would say that, well, Derek's offensive line, it was the first, those all five were black guys, and about how then Derek didn't want to kneel, and so that they just let him get sacked and all that. So that, but that was just a goofy fan theory. That's been debunked that was even close to the case, but something happened. Whatever that was, I don't know. Do I think it was that extreme of a conspiracy? I don't think so. But something happened with that 2017 team because we were freaking world beaters the first 2 weeks against good football teams. And then all of a sudden we just freaking went and the rest of that season went that way. So anyways, that's the kind of level of deficiency we're talking about here. Offensively, Raiders get shut up at home for the seventh time in franchise history. It happened in 2011 against KC. It happened in 2009 against the Jets. It happened 24-0 to Atlanta in 2008. I was there for that game.
Oh, no.
Oh, what a joy that was. 24-0 to the Rams in 2006. 27-0 to the Chargers in 2006. And 17-0 to the Broncos in 1981. The Raiders were the first team to have five drives start in the fourth quarter of a loss and not gain a single first down since the Niners did it back in 2017. Jeff, it gets worse. The Raiders' offensive possessions, since we took that 14-point lead over KC in week 12, you know how it's gone? Punt. End of the half. Three and out. Field goal. Punt. Turnover on downs. Turnover on downs. Punt. Punt. Three and out. Three and out. End of half. Fumble. Punt. Three and out. Three and out. Three and out. Interception. Fumble. Like,
damn, bro.
It's terrible. Aiden O'Connell had 32 attempts for 107. Oh, actually, I'm going to save that. I'll give you that one. This is the last one. The Raiders averaged 15.8 points under McDaniels and are 15.2 under Pierce. On offense, it was only 14.6 under McDaniels and 15.2 under Pierce. Okay. Oh, did I mention this was the lowest scoring indoor game NFL
in history?
In history.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the last one. And there's a little bit of a shot behind this. I'll give you one guess who stat this was.
Okay.
The guy that just freaking can't wait.
Oh, must be our buddy. Our buddy. It doesn't matter, Josh.
old car killer himself.
Absolutely.
All right, check this out. Aiden O'Connell had 32 attempts for 171 yards and zero touchdowns for the Raiders yesterday.
Okay.
He still has a ways to go to match Derek Carr's franchise record of 8 career games with 30 attempts, 0 touchdowns, and less than 200 yards passing.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
It just doesn't matter, Josh.
It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And you know, and I hate to talk about this guy. Do you see the video of the Saints offensive linemen?
They're in a blender right now, dude.
Screaming at DC,
man. And Saints fans are in a blender right now. I want to talk about the ex-girlfriend, but it's a mess over there.
They're a mess.
All right. So,
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so, okay, Swag Jeff. So, look, we've lamented this game yesterday. Look, we could break down, you know, individual player, you know, and moments and things like that. I thought Marcus Epps' hit on Justin Jefferson was pretty solid. I mean, you never want to see a guy, you know, get taken out by injury, but sometimes it's not a bad idea to take out one of their better players by injury. Didn't help. Well, maybe it did. I don't know, because they certainly weren't proficient on offense. But anyway,
but that was like old school, like, hey, welcome back from IR, bro.
Yeah,
this is football.
We're here. Yep. We're gonna run down here. We're gonna let you know we're coming.
And if that quarterback floats one up there, we gonna hit you.
Yeah,
we gonna hit you.
So I did like that. And you mentioned the guys on defense that played well, other than just Marcus Epps. But so here's where I want to go with our discussion here, because we're gonna probably go for a little bit here. Where do we go, man? So right now, we're picking 8th if you look at the way that it's set up. And I swear, someone hit me again today on Twitter, and shout out that guy. And I appreciate you, you know, curious to what my goofy opinion is on things. Hit me up on the Twitter and said, all right, so is it best for us to just lose out and then trade up for Caleb Williams? Listen, y'all, stop with the Caleb Williams stuff. It's nonstop with the Caleb Williams stuff.
Caleb Williams is not going to be a Raider.
I don't think so. First of all, I'm not sold on him entirely. On Caleb Williams. And there are so many good quarterbacks. There's at least 5 that we've counted, if not 6, that are worthy of a top 10 selection. And we are now picking 8th. And the teams that are ahead of us, not all of them need quarterbacks. So this idea that, oh, we need to move up again. No, the Raiders just need to stay put. Even if we win out, which ain't going to happen, but even if we win out, we're still likely going to pick in the top 15, and we'll likely have a shot there at that. And I'll pull up the draft order here in a minute as I turn it over to you, Jeff. But this idea that, okay, and I said it last week too, bring in Justin Fields, bring in a first round quarterback, have Aiden O'Connell. Obviously he's going to be around, and let all 3 of them compete. Heck, bring in somebody else to be a camp arm and compete. But I'm of this opinion now, man. We absolutely sell out until we find a quarterback. And then from there, we can start building out pieces around this football team. But I think going forward, man, that has got to be the number one focus. And frankly, it should be for every NFL team. Look what the Colts are doing. Look what the Buccaneers are doing. Look at what some of these other teams around the league are doing with mid quarterbacks. You tell me that Buccaneers team, if they had somebody better than freaking Baker, you know what I mean? And I know it happened because of injury with the Browns, but if you know what I mean, think about that. If you have an elite player or at least a high level quarterback on these teams, the Colts are running away with the South, frankly.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it makes that big of a difference to a football team. And the idea that you're going to build up and we'll get through this season by, you know, and I know the Colts quarterback got hurt too. I know that was another injury situation. But my point being, though, is that this idea that teams are going to kind of mid their way through with these like basically what Josh McDaniels was trying to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, that's such an arrogant thing now that we're learning that Josh McDaniels tried to pull off here, thinking that he was so good of an offensive mind that he was going to take a guy like
resurrect
Jimmy.
Resurrect a thing that happened 10 years ago and expect it to happen to work
just
in today's NFL.
Plug in Jimmy and away we go. You know, then he famously said, I can take a high school quarterback and make him an all-pro. Yeah, well, you can't. But so that notion of having a really good team with a, you know, a mid-level quarterback, you know, you look at thick, look like the Buccaneers were with Brad Johnson when they beat us in the Super Bowl. You know, you think about, I don't know, pick who some other teams maybe like maybe even like what the Eagles did with Nick Foles, right? You sure. get these guys that are like, they're okay. They're fine, you know, but they're not, you know, elite, you know, sure. but, and so is it possible? Sure. But the
well, good, look at Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, there you go. And seeing the good teams that win year in, year out and hoist Lombardi trophies have elite quarterback play.
Right.
And so that's where the Raiders have got to shoot for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you can make it in certain cases with a mid kind of quarterback. But like, look at our team. How would our team have performed yesterday had we had, I mean, you brought up a guy, you just brought up a guy like Justin Fields. And I know he's a polarizing guy and some people love him, some people hate him. And is he the most accurate guy? No, absolutely not. But I think he's worth taking a look at in the offseason because he's going to be on the move. And I don't think he's going to be that expensive.
That's what I'm saying.
Get.
Yeah.
I think you might be able to trade a second round pick and get him. And
maybe, you know, not even that.
And maybe not even that. Maybe a third, something like that. I don't know. But, you know, and he's still cheap. He's still on that rookie deal for a year or two or whatever that is. So, yeah, draft a guy, get all that stuff. But, like, you look at yesterday's game. I think the score at the end, we would have had way more on the left than we did on the right. Like, we would have probably won that game if we had a guy like Justin Fields behind center.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I mean, how many third downs did we you know, miss out on because there was an open lane and friggin' cement legs O'Connell yeah. just couldn't get to that line. He can't run, you know? So, you know, I don't know, man, but like,
and he's not elusive. And that's the thing that like, and there's been a lot of discussion here lately around mobile quarterbacks and all that stuff. Yeah. And there's a, and to me, there's, I think of more, to me, it's more about elusivity. Whatever. I don't know if that's a word or not. If it is,
yeah.
I just made it up. But it's about being elusiveness. I think that's the word.
Yeah.
So it's more about the elusiveness of guys. You know, Ben Roethlisberger was elusive as hell. He couldn't run, but he was a big old sumbitch. And you could just, you know, he'd have, be wiggling around in the pocket and dudes are glancing off of him and he's keeping it alive. Aaron Rodgers is elusive as hell. Mm-hmm. Derek, even once upon a time, was super elusive and would get his feet going and take off and run sure. and all that. So it's not about, you know, having like Lamar Jackson back there or even Justin Fields where he's going to run for 1,000 yards.
You want someone more like Patrick Mahomes that isn't a runner.
That's the freaking blueprint.
Can loop
around. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's Pat. It's those are the kind of guys.
Make plays when you have to make plays, but that's not your game.
Yes.
You know,
you just need to get out there. And even like Russ, nowadays, he's not out there running around like crazy like he used to, mm-hmm. but he'll take off for 12 yards
absolutely.
On 3rd and 7 when yep. the, you know what I mean? When the play breaks down.
100%.
That, and that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about. So, yep. and here the thing is, most, the way I understand, I haven't looked at film and all that kind of stuff yet. I'm not a film guy anyways, but I'll dig into it. Now that I know the Raiders are going to be in running for one of these top tier quarterbacks, I'm going to definitely dig in on this stuff and find out, you know, what traits each one of these guys has. But the way that I understand it, they're all similar. They're all have very similar games. And we're talking about Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Jaden Daniels, just won the Heisman Trophy.
Yep.
We're talking about Drake May
and
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix.
All right. So here's the draft order as it is right now. And this will be irrelevant, maybe even after we'll change tonight because the Titans are ahead of us, depending on whether the Titans win or lose. And this, but even though this isn't going to be the exact order, Raider Nation, I think it's a fun discussion to have because it just demonstrates what the Raiders will have the potential ability to do here in the draft. So, all right, Jeff. So we've got, Carolina is at the top, but they've traded that pick over to the Bears.
Sure.
So the Bears are going to be drafting number one. Okay. Then we've got New England. We got Arizona. You got the Commanders. You got the Giants. You got the Titans. You got Chicago again. And then us. Behind us are the Jets, the Chargers, Atlanta, New Orleans, Seattle, the Rams, and then Houston. Okay. So even if those are the teams in the mix, let's go down. Let's check the list here. Bears number one pick. Who are they going to draft?
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. That's done at the end. We're not moving up to number one to get Caleb Williams. So there's your first quarterback off the board. The Patriots.
They're taking a quarterback.
It's got Bo Nix written all over it to me. Somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't think Bo Nix will go two. I see more of the Drake May kind of guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But personally, but I mean, but either one, you know, both of those are a Patriot kind of guy.
Well, that's what I'm little more arm than legs.
Sure.
That's kind of where I'm thinking for
totally.
Them. All right. Arizona is going to be interesting. Does Arizona take a quarterback? Because these are the teams that aren't falling down. Like, we're not catching up and passing these teams. These, like, these first five here, these are going to be in the mix no matter what. So right. What do you think? Arizona.
Well, and that's tricky, man, because if Arizona takes a quarterback, then some other things have happened in the offseason that has really rocked things up. You know, I mean, because if they're taking a quarterback, what are they're going to try to get something pretty solid for Kyler Murray.
For Kyler Murray.
You know, and are the Raiders in play for somebody like that? You know, I mean, Kyler. I wouldn't want Kyler only because of the money. The money, I think.
I wonder what it looks like. We got to look at that.
He's got a much bigger contract.
Huge contract.
If it boils down to it, give me Justin Fields all day long. If you're choosing between those kind of guys,
right?
But you know, I think Kyler is a better quarterback than Justin Fields
right now. Sure,
you know,
where their careers are.
So So I don't know, but like, you know, surely I don't know. I don't imagine that Arizona takes a quarterback.
Okay, all right.
And if that's the case, they take wide receiver, right?
Then they would take a wide receiver, I would imagine. Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's a shot to have a one pass over there. Then you got the Commanders. They're may or may not. Sam Howell's playing pretty decent.
I don't think they're going to take a quarterback.
There's a shot they could. All right. Then you got the Giants.
I think they will.
I don't think they're riding or dying with Daniel freaking Jones, man. No. I think they're taking one there. All right. So if they take one, say they take Michael Penix.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So they take him. All right. Then you got the Titans. They're not drafting a quarterback.
Nope.
All right. Then you got the Bears again. All right.
Well,
the Bears
already
got their quarterbacks. So they're not drafting. And then us.
There you go.
So
that leaves us with Jalen Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, right?
Or Jaden Daniels. Yeah.
Jaden Daniels. And then, but then there should be one more, right?
Bo Nix is still on the board.
There you go. So we got our, see what I'm saying? So like, it's not okay. And then after that, after us, say these other teams move up ahead of us. Which I don't think this team would, but because of their quarterback is coming back and going to play. The last I saw that they're expecting freaking Aaron Rodgers to be medically cleared to play here in the next like week or so, which is bananas.
Yep.
But the Jets aren't taking a quarterback. Yep. They good. The Chargers, who are after them, they're not taking a quarterback. They good. The Atlanta Falcons, maybe, but I don't think so. I think they're going to ride with Ritter. Then you got the Saints. They're not taking a quarterback. They are locked into Derek for the next couple of years. Then you've got Seattle. I could see Seattle taking a quarterback.
I could see him taking a quarterback.
Because they're gonna need one. So that's at 13. Then the Rams. I don't see who the Rams are. And then you've got the Cardinals again. And then you got Denver, Buffalo, Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's
even if we fall to 15 or 16 in the draft. Bo Nix will probably be there. Jaden Daniels will be there. One of those guys will probably be there.
So I think it's entirely possible. So I think Raider Nation, the idea, this trade up for Caleb thing. Now, listen, if this were a year where he was the only elite quarterback in the draft, first of all, you may not be able to trade up and go get him. You know what I mean? But I also think about this too. What if someone else wants that? What if one of those other teams goes, nope, Caleb Williams is the guy. The Bears know they got a pick later, and there's going to be these other great players, and they can grab another one.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So like,
they're not sold on Caleb, and they want to go get Penix or something like that at 4 or 5 or wherever they're going to be.
Absolutely.
And then they gain even more draft capital.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is going to start getting crazy because you have so many good prospects at quarterbacks because he's not just the one. So I think that the Raiders are going to be safe. I think they're going to play it safe and draft where they're at, unless it's a 4 of the guys came off the board. There's only one left. And, you know, one of those teams that we talked about is right ahead of them. Unless there's some crazy thing like that.
Sure.
I don't see the Raiders doing that. And then after that, Jeff, it's got to be, I think, offensive line. I think that's where you really got to start locking in is on offensive line. We need a right tackle. We need a right tackle bad.
Bad.
You know what I mean? We need some interior help. And then after that, I think you go defensive tackle. I think that once you go quarterback, and the old adage used to be this, the most important position to draft for is your quarterback. You got to have a franchise quarterback, the end.
Yep.
The second most important position to draft
is
a defensive end or an outside linebacker because you got to go get the other team's quarterback. Okay. The third most important position is left tackle.
Yep.
Because you got to stop the other team's defensive end from coming to get your quarterback. You know what I mean? Like you kind of go down and kind of ping pong down the list of play. So that idea, I think, still holds true for the Raiders. Maybe not by position per se, but I think the idea that you go quarterback, then you protect him, and then you draft the defensive line player to go get the other team's quarterback. Because what are the three things we're missing most? Quarterback, protection of said quarterback, and interior line pressure to help goddamn Max Crosby out, and especially now with Tyree Wilson getting going. Can you imagine if we have a high-level defensive tackle, if we pick up an extra pick along the way? You know, you want to move up for something? That's the kind of shit we move up for. Sure. Move up out of the third, back into the second, and go get some high-profile defensive tackle to come and play. That's the kind of stuff I would love to see the Raiders do.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. You know, I think we probably need a little more help in the secondary. We need a little more corner help. You know, I think, you know, I mean, give Ja'Corian Bennett a little bit more time to develop and stuff like that. But your outsides right now look fairly good. Jack Jones looked pretty good yesterday.
He's kind of fiery, dude. I like that guy.
I like him. Yeah, I like that guy. And of course, Amik. You know, I mean, Amik has just turned into a freaking stud, man. You know, so I love that. And I love that Trayvon Merrick has had such a great bounce back season. I think he's had probably the best season he's had so far in his career. I mean, his rookie year was pretty good.
Tells you that.
Yeah, 100%. So you know, so but yeah, I think you go offensive line, defensive line, and you just stack it up because, like you said. I mean, I think we're even more than any of those other things. I think we're a quarterback and an offensive coordinator away from being something really special, you know? And I wish that we would have realized that and done something different. Like, I just wished we had the same circumstances for next year. Because look at our division right now. And it's a frustrating thing that, like, of all years for us to go through the shit that we're going through. Why this year, man? Because you look, the Chiefs are human. They're 8-5. The Broncos are 7-6 and are one game back from the lead in the free, and they hold the tiebreaker against the Chiefs right now. Like
they might win the goddamn division.
I'm telling you, man, like that week 18 game against Denver might be for Denver to maybe win or lose the division or whatever. So like, how great would that be for us to knock out Denver? I mean, you hate to
give it to the Chiefs,
but like, you know, it's just like, you know, and the Chargers are ass this year. But like, why all these things are happening? Why are we also at damn it. Like, come on, man, like do something.
That's the thing. Well, and that's what was so frustrating about this past week too, is that, you know, Pittsburgh loses,
all the things
Colts lose, like all the things start lining up for us. And it's like, gosh, dang it, man. I'm with you, man. Yep. You know, and the Chiefs losing. And I mean, of course we needed the Bills actually to lose for our playoff purposes, but, yeah, and you know what? And Patrick Mahomes, can you just shut up? Like, I mean, dude, I don't was saying about the Chiefs. Is there anything more annoying than him whining about actually a correct call being made? Oh, now you're going to get all feisty and fiery and mad. And
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude has had the freaking world by the tail for what, 5 years now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're going to freaking act like that? That is not a hard team to root against, man.
Did you see his wife post on social media, had like a video of like zoomed into the ref and it said tonight's MVP of the game or whatever.
Please.
Like, come on, man. Yeah, go home and just go hold your trophies and shut the hell up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so, man, you know, Raider Nation, it looks, we got the Chargers coming up, right? No. Yeah, Chargers on Thursday Night Football. So good thing the Raiders are going to be in two primetime games here coming up because everyone wants to watch this electric offense. Yeah,
absolutely.
Raider Nation, so we won't have a show Wednesday, but we might catch up with you. I don't know, we got busy weekends and stuff coming up here as we get into the holiday season.
You talk to Murphy about a Thursday show maybe or no?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not. Yeah. But I don't think we're going to have a show. Okay. I think this will be it for the week for us. Love you, Raider Nation. Have fun watching the game, man. I mean, I think we got a shot to win. I mean, clearly,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And the game's in LA, right? You know? And so
it's a home game.
It's a home game for us. So there's gonna be plenty of Raider fans, in full throat there, as the kids say. And you know, that's going to be, it's going to be awesome to watch. I'm looking forward to, I mean, I always look forward to watching a Raider game and, you know, God forbid we get this offense going, Jeff. I mean, they're the right. We're matching up against some bad defenses here on the way out, except for, well, Chiefs are, like you said, they Chiefs can bleed.
Defenses,
but who'd have thunk that in this final stretch, the Broncos were going to be the toughest game on the list. If you'd have told us that week five, we'd have been like,
you lost your freaking mind.
Yep. At the freaking Broncos game. But so let me say this. I'll ask you this anyways.
Okay.
What is it that you as a fan lock into? What are the things that you still find to root? Because listen, we've read y'all the stats. You guys watched the game. Our hopes were dashed. Like, we're down pretty freaking bad. We're down literally historical levels of bad this season at various points of this season. And while we were all appreciative of the resurrection for our spirit that Antonio Pierce brought, unfortunately, the success on the field was very short-lived, and hopefully it will come back. But that said, there's really not a lot for terms of postseason or anything else to root for. This season is over. It's now done. So what as a fan do you lock into when you're watching a game, knowing that you're watching a coaching staff that could potentially not be around? You're watching a lot of players that could potentially not be around, even a guy like Davante Adams and whatnot. Like, there's going to be so much volatility now from this point forward. What do you look for in a game like this? And outside of just the Raiders beating the Chargers, that what do you look for to root for and keep your interest going?
I will never root for the Raiders to lose ever, ever. It doesn't matter if it affects our draft position or anything. I root for the Raiders that are, not the Raiders that aren't. The end. You know, Max Crosby will keep me fired up every snap of every game. It will never change. You know, Davante Adams, his ability to break one at any point and to make a freaking cornerback look stupid will always keep me fired up. You know, what else are you going to root for? Because anything else you're rooting against, you know,
would you say, okay, man, you know what? I just want to see Josh get going. I just want to see Josh, return to form in a game, have a big breakout. That way we can nullify a lot of those negative stats now that are building up against him. I'd love to see Josh have a big game or Hunter Renfrow or whatever. And I'll just tell you, that's kind of what I look for. I look for players that we know have greatness in them be great.
Right.
You know what? That's the kind of stuff that I look for. I would love to see a scoop and score or some sort of a defensive score of some kind. We haven't seen that since Marcus Peters, right? Marcus Peters pick six. Was that the last time we saw a defensive score?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, so I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Max and Tyree put the Omalachi crunch on Justin Herbert in the end zone for a safety.
I don't know what I mean?
Like, I don't know shit if like
Justin
that.
Herbert's going to play.
Oh, that's right. He's out.
I think he's
Who's their backup?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
If it was Chase Daniels forever. I don't know who.
Okay. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Look it up. But yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I brought up Max and stuff like that, but I want the defense to keep cooking. Like, you know, I want to see that momentum continue because we've seen the Chargers barely escape wins. You know, I mean, I think they beat the Patriots 6-0 a couple weeks ago. Like,
yeah,
it, you know, and that was with Herbert. So like, I mean, this could be another friggin' barn burner, you know what I mean? But like, but yeah, I mean, obviously when you're playing a division rival on primetime, you just want to make them look stupid, man. And Max Crosby's the guy that can make that happen. So, you know, so you look, you root for those little things and stuff. So yeah, who is their quarterback?
All right. So, he stands 6'1" tall, 224 pounds out of North Dakota State. It is Easton Stick.
Oh,
28-year-old Easton Stick, who has been a backup quarterback for Justin Herbert since 2019.
Oh, good.
I had no idea. He was a 4-time FCS champion, first team All-American, first team All-MVFC, and MVFC Offensive Player of the Year.
And one time dopey name award. Easton Stick, he should have played hockey.
I was just going to say, or baseball.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, he's got an Easton Stick. But yeah, so there you go. So that's, I look forward to seeing a bit, something like that. Kurt Warner calls him GCPs, game changing plays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something I want to see, or the explosive plays, you know, big momentum changers. That's the kind of stuff that I want to see because that's then gets, I think, a lot of the critics off the Raiders' ass because we'll be on primetime.
Yeah.
We'll be the only game on Thursday.
Yep.
We're running into the time where people are starting to take off of work. They're, you know what I mean? People are home with their families.
Sure.
They're doing get-togethers. People are circling up around the prime, watching Thursday night football.
Yep.
And
Get Davante Adams in the end zone.
There you go.
Can we please?
There you go. So that's what kind of stuff I'm talking about right there.
You know, I mean, when was the last time Devontae scored a touchdown? Like week six or something like that? Like, bruh, like, get the guy the ball.
Get him the ball.
You know?
Let's throw a fade.
Why not?
Can we throw a fade?
Hello?
We just forgot fades to the corner of the end zone ever existed.
I don't know.
It's bananas to me.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. You got big pass catchers. That's what you use Michael Mayer for. Oh, you got to start your Bluetooth again.
I got to start the Bluetooth.
But yeah, you know, those are the kind of things I look for, Raider Nation. So anyways, in the chat or in the comments, let us know what you're looking forward to on Thursday. We appreciate you jumping in and joining us tonight. Again, sorry we're not live this week, but we've got a short week we're working on in our personal lives.
Yes.
So, look forward to talking to you guys week after next. And we'll be back on the 13th. No, this is the 13th.
Yep, we're back on the 20th with a special guest.
That talk to him about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So tune in for our next live show. It will not just be the three best friends you've ever had. It'll be the four, because the fourth member will be the one and only from Silver and Black today, Scott Kilbranson.
Hey.
In the building here. Absolutely. And me and Michelle were talking. We did two shots of these 99s last week. Scott may have to have like three or something like that. You know, he's gonna sleep in the fan cave.
We're gonna get Scott turnt here in the fan cave, as the kids say. Our goal is to send him home in an Uber. Well, we appreciate you, Raider Nation, so very, very much. I'll let Swag Jeff take us on out of here. But if just do us a favor, hit the like, hit the subscribe, hit the thumbs up. I hate asking you guys for stuff to do like that. But hey, listen, if you can't support the foundation monetarily, just know that when you do that, it supports the One Nation Foundation. It's not about publicizing our show. It's about publicizing the foundation. And there's so much equity in your like, in your subscribe, in a share, in a Twitter post, a Facebook post, all that stuff. It goes such a long way, because that generates advertising opportunities for us, like the good folks at Manscaped, who we take their advertising dollars and give it all to the foundation. So thank you guys so very, very much for doing that. If it's on the audio podcast or here on the YouTubes, just please do that for us. We love you so much. Enjoy the game Thursday. Swag Jeff, take us on out of here.
Absolutely, man. Raider Nation, we're down bad, man. We're down pretty bad, but like we just said, man, try to find something to root for, because what else are you going to do on a Thursday night? You know, support the team, support the Silver and Black, do your thing, man. I know it's rough, but, you know, we're Raiders, man. We persevere.
That's it.
You know? So,
not like we ain't used to this shit.
Act like you've been here before, man. It's been worse, you know? So, yeah, thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Raiders Fan Radio Rundown, where we take a lighter side journey into the dark side. And don't forget, boys and girls, what happens in Vegas, Southern, and Oakland. Bye.
Get on YouTube.
Goodbye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.